Hello, today is Tuesday. It is July 9th, 2024. I'm Chris Volunteer, Kathy Danaher, reading from the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times. Starting with a review of the photos on the front pages of these two newspapers, on the Times and above the fold, we see a picture of a family. It's a father and his three children, and he's laying under a tent, looking rather unhappy and disgruntled, and with him is the family dog. And the caption reads, "With three children and a dog, Aguila Ortega family trekked through Central America, trudged through the jungle, hopped freight trains, and finally reached New York City." And the caption reads that significant challenges would lay ahead. On the bottom of the page, we see a photo of nurses and men in military gear and civilians, and they're clearing rubble at a children's hospital in Kyiv, Ukraine, that was destroyed by a Russian missile on Monday. We'll take a look now at the photos on the front page of the Hartford Courant. And front and center, we see the captions, "Wet and Wild." And we see a photo of a young man and his friends, and they're tubing down the Farmington River at Satan's Kingdom in New Hartford. And the caption said that it provides respite and fun on Monday. As tubers navigate the third set of rapids on the river, Kais Johnson, 12, of North Stonington, helps his mother, Crystal Johnson, pick out a tube. And we see a pile of colorful pink and yellow and blue tubes. And we see children having a wonderful time going down the Farmington River. What better way to stay cool on a hot day? Those are the photos on the front pages of the two newspapers from which I'll be reading. Let's begin with the lead stories from the New York Times. From the New York Times, "Russia strikes children's hospital in deadly barrage across Ukraine. President Vladimir Zelensky said Russia launched at least 40 missiles at targets across Ukraine, including the country's largest children's hospital." This by Mark Santora and Brendan Hoffman. Ukraine's largest children's hospital was destroyed by a Russian missile on Monday, shaking Kyiv, the capital, with images of bloodied and injured children, and sending hundreds racing to the scene to help clear twisted metal and smash concrete in a desperate search for survivors. The hospital strike was part of a barrage of bombings by Moscow across the country, including one of its deadliest assaults on Kyiv since the first months of the war. At least 38 people were killed across the country, including 27 in Kyiv. More than 100 people were injured. The Ukrainian Air Force said it shot down 30 out of the 38 missiles launched by Russia during the attack, which began in the mid-morning. Quote, "The attack was massive, combined with the use of aerial, ballistic, and cruise missiles," end quote, said Sergei Popko, lead of the Kyiv Military Administration. He continued, "The missiles flew at the capital in waves and from different directions," end quote. At the hospital, one doctor and another adult were killed and at least 10 more people were injured, including 7 children, local officials said. At least 3 children were pulled from the rubble, Ukraine's emergency services said. Ola Melnik, the mother of a child being treated in the oncology unit of the hospital who was not there at the time, said she was in a state of shock. Quote, "There were so many families like us who had their own personal war with oncology already," end quote, she said, continuing, "and you know, these children can't go to the basement because all the tubes and treatments, if they do this, there will be no healing at all. You can't interrupt the healing session," end quote. The United Nations Security Council will hold an emergency meeting on Tuesday to address the strikes. President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine called for the meeting, saying President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia should be held accountable. Quote, "To everything that they tried to discuss with him about peace, Russia responds with strikes on houses and hospitals," he said. "That is why we can only force Russia to make peace," end quote. Video of the attack, taken by a Kyiv resident and verified by the New York Times, showed a missile moving downward at high speed before striking the children's hospital. Fabian Hoffman, a doctoral research fellow at the University of Oslo, who specializes in missile technology, identified the weapon as a Russian KH-101 cruise missile. Mr. Hoffman also noted that the missile was not struck by a Ukrainian anti-air defense interceptor and was, quote, fully intact with no visible damage to the fuselage. The Ukrainian security services recovered fragments of what it said was the missile that struck the hospital, also identifying it as a KH-101 cruise missile. Biden says he is firmly committed to staying in the race. President Biden defied his critics in a letter to Democratic members of Congress and in fiery remarks on MSNBC. This by Michael D. Scheer. President Biden on Monday dared his critics to, quote, challenge me at the convention if they want him to step out of the presidential race, refusing to step aside in a defiant letter to Democratic members of Congress and in fiery remarks on MSNBC's Morning Joe program, declaring himself, quote, frustrated by the elites, end quote, who have called for his exit from the race. Mr. Biden engaged in an offensive blitz aimed at saving his candidacy. But it also did little to mollify restless Democratic lawmakers and laid bare the fractures in his party over whether his position as its standard bearer will help or hurt its fortunes this fall. In effect, Mr. Biden decided to engage in a no-holds-barred fight with his allies for the world to see. He was at turns defiant, furious, indignant, exasperated, and dismissive. He insisted that he would not withdraw from the race, but accused those who have suggested he step aside of being routinely wrong about politics. The president used the friendly venue of the morning news show hosted by Joe Scarborough, a longtime supporter who recently has been critical, to respond to demands that he demonstrate the kind of vigor that was missing from his listless and at times incoherent debate performance on June 27th. Mr. Biden raised his voice repeatedly during the brief phone interview, including after Mika Brzezinski, the co-host of the show, and Mr. Scarborough's wife, asked him whether he had undergone neurological exams after the debate. Sounding exasperated and angry, Mr. Biden rejected assertions that his stamina and mental abilities have not been tested in a real way. Quote, "It drives me nuts, people talking about this," end quote, he said. In the days after the debate with former President Donald J. Trump, Mr. Biden tried to be conciliatory. He admitted that he had, quote, a bad night, end quote, and tried to explain that his performance was the result of a cold and jet lag. Mr. Biden refused to answer a question about whether he had taken a neurological exam, even as reports surfaced that an expert on Parkinson's disease from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center visited the White House 8 times in 8 months from last summer through this spring. The records from the official visitor logs showed that the specialist, Dr. Kevin Kennard, was at the White House at least once to meet with Mr. Biden's physician. The reports prompted an angry back and forth on Monday afternoon between reporters and Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, over a lack of transparency about the president's health. At 9:40 p.m. Monday, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the White House physician, released a statement saying that, quote, "President Biden has not seen a neurologist outside of his annual physical," end quote, and implying that most of Dr. Kennard's visit were related to treating other people who work at the White House. At campaign rallies. And continuing with the New York Times, a compromise? France needs it, but disdains it. Instead of waking up on Monday to a country dominated by the far right, France awoke to becoming Italy, a country where only painstaking parliamentary negotiation may eventually yield a viable coalition government. France said no to Marine Le Pen's anti-immigrant National Rally Party in legislative elections, another demonstration of its deep-seated resistance to nationalist adventures. It voted a resurgent left into a first place that fell far short of giving the left power, and it shifted the political heart of the country from an all-powerful presidency to the parliament. With the Paris Olympics set to open in less than 3 weeks, and an August exodus to the beaches or mountains, a sacred feature of French life, talks to form a government may stretch into the fall, when France will need a government to pass a budget. The election, which might have provoked an uprising, produced an impasse. The new Popular Front, a resurgent, if fractious, left-wing alliance, came in first with about 180 seats in the National Assembly, and immediately demanded that President Emmanuel Macron ask it to form a government, saying it would put forward its choice of prime minister in the next week. This demand ignored several things. Under the Constitution, Mr. Macron chooses the prime minister. In the 577-seat National Assembly, the new Popular Front is some 100 seats short of having a workable majority. It was not the program of the left-wing alliance that won it all its seats, but a combination of that and a decision by centrists and to the left to form a, quote, Republican front, end quote, of unity against the national rally in the second round of voting. Despite this, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the Democratic left-wing leader, said he would not negotiate with potential coalition partners nor change a single sentence of the left's program. None of this boded well for lifting the thick fog with which Mr. Macron's snap clarification election has enveloped Paris. Mr. Macron, who is term-limited and must leave office in 2027, has been largely silent for the past several days, which is uncharacteristic. Although his party lost a third of its seats, the election was not the widely expected debacle for him. He escaped humiliation. He demonstrated that a big victory for the national rally in the European Parliament would not lead inevitably to the same in a national election. That was no small thing. Companies walk on eggshells to push to reduce plastic use. This by Hiroko Tabuki. When Costco tried to cut down on its plastic use earlier this year, putting its popular rotisserie chicken in a thin bag instead of a bulkier clamshell, some chicken lovers were displeased. The bags were leaky, they said, and risked making a greasy mess. Their edges were prone to splitting open. Chicken juice spilled all over the trunk of our car, one person complained on Reddit. It was another chapter in the packaging wars. There is broad agreement that the world needs to use less plastic. Plastic waste is filling the world's landfills and clogging rivers and streams. Recycling hasn't kept up. Less than 10% of plastic waste gets recycled. Plastic can also contain chemicals linked to cancer and other health problems. Reining in plastic packaging, often used only once and then thrown away, is an obvious first step. But putting that into practice has been tricky for businesses, policymakers, and shoppers. Everyone has an opinion. Quote, you can see experiments all over the landscape with it, end quote, said Sandra Goldmark, a sustainability expert at Columbia University's Climate School. Right now, many of the experiments are not working that well. We haven't really cracked this nut, end quote. Costco's rotisserie chicken in a bag was a classic example of solutions that's less bad, she said. But the funny thing about less bad solutions is that it tends to disappoint everybody, end quote. She said, it's less plastic, it's fewer trucks on the road, but the chicken is still in a plastic bag, and there's chicken juice all over your car, end quote. Take a proposed New York State law that would require companies to reduce the plastic packaging they use by 50% over 12 years by requiring them to either find more sustainable options or pay a fee. Opponents to the law pointed out that it would mean the demise of another American institution, sliced cheese. The plastic-to-cheese ratio in packs of individually wrapped cheese slices meant they'd be a prime target should the law pass, they said. Quote, under this bill, New Yorkers can expect a future where they're grabbing unwrapped products from cereals to cheeses to hot dogs from grocery store bins before buying them and carrying them home. Nelson Eusebio of the National Association of Supermarkets told the New York Post, "The bill passed the Senate, but hasn't been brought to a vote in the Assembly. Bill supporters scoffed and said there were alternatives available, like using paper."